What's happening, people? We are back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Mario here to wrap up the NFC section of the divisional breakdowns. Mario, how are we doing today?
Brian, I'm doing fantastic. And dare I say, did we save the best for last? The NFC South? People are asking. People are saying.
I guess it's the best of what, I guess, is the question I would ask if that's what we're talking about. Like, are they still in the NFL? Have they been relegated yet? This is a team of questions, quandaries, and a lot of fun. So I can't wait to get into this, man. I'm just coming off the expo myself, so struggling a little bit, but we're here for the people. And man, we got less than a week before we're going to be hanging out doing some Scott Fishbowl draft there in New York City.
Yes, that's right. I got my Fishbowl coming up this Saturday, and then you're going to be in New York City. Oh my gosh, we might have to do a quick live pod, a live segment for the people. It should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We've got Brett and Jay, who will be recording the AFC South later this week. They'll also be there, so it's going to be a nice little QB List hive we have there. So if you're in town, if you are in New York City, come on by the Scott Fishbowl draft. We'll be there. Man, let's talk about this division, though, before we get into each one. This was not a great overall, and this hasn't traditionally been a great division since, I mean, really Tom Brady was running a few years ago. Not a single winning record last year.
No, but if anything, it's the most fair division, right? Like, if you want to talk parity, three teams finished 8-9, which makes for an exciting finish at the end of the season.
Exciting, sure. Those will be the words we'll use.
If you're a fan of one of these teams, although I'm pretty sure the Falcons, even though they finished 8-9, they blew all of the tiebreakers very early on. So it's like, even though they finished with the same record, they weren't even close to wrapping up the division, which is just one of the craziest things.
Yeah, it was interesting how it kind of worked out. We were all talking about, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Panthers going into those last couple games, and I'm like, the Falcons are right there. Why aren't we talking about this for a tiebreaker? But no, they just made the anomaly. Put an asterisk there on the thing. Let's dive into the Panthers, and let's go ahead and get started. And you're like, Brian, but we always start with the division winners. Why are we talking about the Panthers? Because they won the division. How crazy is that? 8-9 is the Panthers' record last year. They're coming into this year. 7.5 wins is what Vegas has them projected at. Dave Canales going into year three with his coordinator. And, of course, defense, not that it matters that much here on this show. But we have just continuity across the board with the coaching staff. This team's coming in. Man, it's rough. Strength of schedule this year. This is the third hardest schedule. It's not a cakewalk. Honestly, this whole division, three of the teams in this division are in the top 12 as far as hardest schedule, strength of schedule. So they definitely have quite a bit to work against. Initial thoughts here with this team. How are you feeling as far as just the continuity going into?
I love the continuity. That's a big plus. And I just want to say all of this as, you know, a first with the pretense that I was a huge Panthers fan last year. Like, I said they were going to make the division, make the playoffs, win the division. We're going to find the clip, put it in here, because it does exist, damn it.
It was a spicy take. So I will, we'll pass the bouquet your way, man. That was a nice call. Really nice call.
That's just no one ball. But let's start with the position. So Bryce Young, we start quarterbacks as we do on QB List. You already mentioned it. Third most difficult strength of schedule. He's going around, I see, quarterback 25, 223 ADP. Here's a fun fact. Maybe depending on your definition of fun. But last year, Bryce Young had as many finishes as quarterback 29, exactly 29, as he has had in single digits. So not great. You're not drafting Bryce Young. Let's just say that. That's quarterback.
It's an interesting situation with how we need to look at this, because he's eligible for an extension, like he's coming into what could be his final years with the Panthers, or they figure out whether or not they want to extend him. Not even being drafted, I imagine, in most redraft leagues. Of course, some of these tournament leagues that are going on, we talk about Scott Fish, he'll get picked up, I imagine, and then a best ball, he's being drafted there. But yeah, the consistency is not there for Mr. Bryce Young, that's for sure.
It's a huge problem, and like I said, you could even take that late round flyer on him, because you mentioned it's his extension year, and we have seen the Panthers, they just won the division, so there is some kind of potential there. But if it wasn't for that third most difficult schedule for a quarterback, right? If it was like a softball schedule, I think it'd be a great opportunity to kind of zig against the grain and be like, hey guys, like, you know, nobody, everybody's going to laugh me out of the room, but like, I expect some good finishes here. But the fact that the matchups are just brutal, it makes it really tough. I'm sure at some point or another, we'll talk about him during the bye weeks, but no, Bryce Young's Bryce Old for me.
He's going to be the biggest part about this team. You know, we talked about the strength of schedule, how difficult that is. When you talk about offensive line, this is the most expensive line, offensive line going into this year.
Must it's be good.
A great sign. Awesome, you know, sign being able to know that the offensive line will be able to protect him, keep him from having to get absolutely smeared. One thing to note, though, right tackle right now is dealing with blood clots in his lungs. Ooh. Looking like he could miss up to the first month of the season. So we hope a speedy recovery for him. Hope he's doing well. But for Bryce Young, especially that first month, he's going to want a nice tackle there on the right side. But something we'll monitor there. As far as like key additions to this team, player-wise, personnel-wise, there's really not a whole lot notable. We'll talk about the wide receiver out of Tennessee that they picked up. Defense, they beefed up on defense. And I was kind of warming up on this team as far as coming into it with what they can do. Like, can they actually fight for this division again? But that strength of schedule, man. You smack that with improvements on the defense and the offensive line, I'm like, oh, might be a wash. So Bryce Young is going to be a pivotal piece in the success of this team. You want to talk some running backs?
Let's talk running backs. Nice. Christian McCaffrey, he's still the running back here, right? No, it's been.
not quite.
No, we got Chuba Hubbard, who, from what I saw, the Panthers face the hardest running back schedule. So that's not great. I see him around running back 29, 70 overall ADP. Chuba Hubbard had a weird start to last year. He had the starting job, obviously. Averaged about 16.5 points per game in the first two. But then he kind of lost the job, right? To Rico Dowdle is what it was. So Rico's gone. Can Chuba Hubbard show that this is his week again, or this backfield again, or is he going to go back to just looking at his last, where he finished overall last year? It was about RB 32.
Yeah. It's an interesting spot where he falls in ADP right now. He's just past that, the significant tier break. Like, there's a big tier break for me right around RB 25. And then you get the Jalen Warrens, Jerry's Prices, Tony Pollard's, Chuba Hubbard's. And I don't find myself clicking that button very much. I was looking at my best ball exposures, slim to none on Chuba Hubbard, just where he goes, because I like getting the cheaper guy. It's a common theme. Yes, I get it. Oh my gosh, Brian Stingy, he won't pay up. Nope. Nope. Not in these ambiguous circumstances. So right now I'm looking actually at the backup, or as we're calling the backup, Jonathan Brooks, man, RB 40, roughly, going anywhere from the 12th round in sleeper to the 10th round in Yahoo. He's moved up into the 9th round, 902 on best ball. The steam's moved up, folks. Almost embarrassed to say this because it's irresponsible. The best ball strategy, but proud to say it, I have 51% exposure across all of my best ball drafts so far on Jonathan
Brooks.
He's
addicted, folks.
Now, I will say this guy was going in RB's 50 zones just back in May. So, yeah, I was pounding it. I was grabbing it as much as I can, just knowing that this was going to move up. I don't know how you can't get excited. We talk about this offensive line, how good it should be. Dave Canales wanted to run the ball. This is a former second-round running back. This was the best running back coming out of his class, and he had a torn ACL, and he was the first running back that went. So there's a lot of hype there. If you don't remember, of course, coming off the ACL, played just a few snaps his rookie year and tore the ACL again. Didn't play at all last year. That's a good thing just for the recovery. We want him to be where he should, but this guy hasn't played a lot of football. He's played one full season since high school. It's not great.
I feel like sample size.
But at RB 40, baby, I'm taking that shot. Like, I Jordan Mason or Jonathan Brooks. Like, Jordan Mason could be the guy this year just because of Aaron Jones and the age, but what's his true ceiling? He's not a pass catcher. This team has question marks across it, just like the Panthers do. I'll give you that. But I'll take the younger asset, the mystery box, if you will, when it comes to between those two, Jonathan Brooks or Woody Marks. I don't think it's a question. Yeah.
I don't think it is. Woody Marks is so funny you say that exact name, because I'm looking right now at just like the names that surround him, and it's like the Bill Kroski merits, the Aaron Jones, who we kind of talked about, lost that job. Rashard White, it's like another Washington backfield. No. Tyrone Tracy, who we already established in a different episode. It's like, it's not even his backfield. Any, like, you're drafting him around handcuffs. And it's like, yes, he is kind of a handcuff, but we saw what happened to Chuba Hubbard last year already. So I love that take. I think, like you said, like, I think his price is only going to go up for Jonathan Brooks as people remember who he is. I think not playing at all last year is going to be a strength for people, you know, listening to this podcast. We're like, hey, here's your Jonathan Brooks signal, but good call on him.
Anything else on the running backs before we go to wide receivers, these pass catchers?
No, Chuba Hubbard, I'm not really liking for his price. So I do love Jonathan Brooks for his price, but I'm curious to see where he'll fall. I mean, at this rate, the way we're talking about him, he might be RB 30 by the time people are drafting.
I think that in about 2 or 3 weeks, we might be having a discussion as at what point do we not draft Jonathan Brooks? Like, you know, like, where's that line that you're like, all right, that's, there's still a lot of risk here. There is quite a bit. And I don't want to be taking, you know, Jonathan Brooks over a DeAndre Swift or a Quinshon, you know, like, we're just finding that line. Yes. So I can't wait for that conversation.
Your boy Tootin.
I didn't want to say it, but we won't get there. Let's talk wide receivers on this team, because we had quite the blossoming season for the rookie Teteroa McMillan coming to town as the number one for Bryce Young, as he's been searching for quite a bit. The guy made a splash there in the second half of the season. A lot of it was on the back of touchdowns. Inconsistency was his middle name, but of course, quarterback play played into that. So wide receiver 15 about is his ADP. We're also looking at Chris Braswell, who's a the rookie that they picked up there in the third round out of Tennessee. Long, lean, fast guy. And then, of course, they have oh my gosh, I just moved away from his name. The former first round pick, Xavier Leggett. There he is. So he's also on the team. How are we feeling about, I mean, depth piece, saying them so you know them, but I don't really want to rely on anything past Tet.
No, the only one we're talking about is Tet. And I'm just pulling up some extra stats about Tet as we speak. So Tet last year, you're right about how we kind of talked about this in the Bryce Young section, where it's all going to come down to quarterback play because your wide receiver is only as good as the guy throwing him the ball. But what I really like about Tet is just his opportunities, right? Like, we just said a bunch of names. They're all going to be death pieces. Maybe you're a cokehead, Jalen Coker. You think he's going to explode and you're going to take a chance on him. But Tet McMillan last year averaged 7.2 targets a game, 14th most amongst wide receivers. And I think that's, he's going to be that piece. He's going to continue to be that piece. This offense, we're kind of just looking at it. And again, no offense to the other pass catchers, and we'll get to tight ends. It's like, but it's like, it's the piece we're most excited about on this offense is a guy who didn't play a single snap of football last year. So I think that says that Tet can be the lightning rod. Like I said, he mentioned 7.2 targets last year. I think it's in the realm of possibility for him to average close to 9. So if that's true for the wide receiver 15 price that I see right now, I think I take the chance. I think that if this offense does anything, it's going to be through Tet.
The hard piece of that, and again, it was his rookie year, so we're going to expect for him to grow, but 122 targets, 70 receptions, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, but it's the inconsistency. So let me ask you a question. Mario, DK yes. Metcalf, not a great year last year, right? You didn't really like DK Metcalf. I didn't know when you could play him. The inconsistency, it really hurt you, right? What if I told you that DK Metcalf finished in the top 24 at a higher rate than Teteroa McMillan? What if I told you Brian Thomas Jr. finished as a top 24 receiver at a higher rate than Tet McMillan last year?
Don't say Brian Thomas Jr. That hurts. I need the top 25 numbers is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's not that I don't think he could be a worthwhile piece to have, but what you're having to pay for him, it's not great. You know, it's just not great. 41% of his games were in the top 24. Only not even, it was 11% of his games were in the top 12. So overall finishing for you in points was fine, but was at the price that you're having to pay, I just can't stomach it right now. T. Higgins is going behind him. T. Higgins on a points per game basis is nasty. It's just the fact that he doesn't play, and he played last year. Garrett Wilson goes behind him. Zay Flowers goes several spots behind him. I love him. Like, now when you get to the Emeka Ibukas, the Ladd McConkeys, the Devontae Adams, those guys, I think he should be in that tier. I would put him at the top of that tier, But like those guys all have question marks. There are lots of question marks. There's risk. Okay. And I think that is where I find him more appropriately priced versus, you know, some of those other names that they go right by him. Devonta Smith goes just ahead of him. Like right
there. I see that.
Give me Devonta Smith all day long.
I think I take Devonta Smith over him. But then T. Higgins, you're absolutely right, where it's like that offense is just so explosive. It doesn't matter how many people are getting targets, but that's just what's attracting me to Tet, is it's just it's his targets and nobody else, right? It's just he's going to have double the targets of everyone else on this team combined because there's just no one else to catch this ball. And if Bryce Young knows how to get that second contract, it's to feed your guy like this. So I'm really hoping Tet could take that second year bump. I think that's where that premium's coming from, is just the optimism, but we'll see. I don't know. Like you said, T. Higgins, I might take him over T. Higgins. I might just...
And I wouldn't... Yeah. I wouldn't fault anybody for that. Not at all. It's just my comfortability level with it is it's not quite there.
Oh, I'm kind of juiced up for him.
Alrighty. Okay. Tight end position.
Okay.
Do you have something for me? Throw it.
Okay. Here's my little like fun little nugget about tight end. So no free ads, of course, but I really enjoy Fantasy Pros for like my ADP and, you know, like just that kind of stuff, getting stats, etc. I looked at the ADP for tight ends, and Brian, if I do a control F and type in car, C-A-R, there are no tight ends. So there, I don't know if they actually roster a tight end and just there's no fantasy relevance for them, but I've never seen this before where there's like not even someone in like the 40s. And it's like, oh yeah, and this is a starting tight end. There is just no tight end listed for the Panthers.
Yeah, Jatavion Sanders, him coming out of Texas a couple of years ago, I had some hype around him. I thought there was a chance. This was also before Tedrone McMillan was on the team. And I was like, well, somebody's got to be the pass catcher. Maybe it's going to be him. Well, we've seen flashes of brilliance come out of him. Pretty nasty concussion 2 years ago. I don't know if maybe that's still affected him. Maybe he's still feeling fatigue from that. But just it doesn't seem like he's been fully the same since then. Or they use the tight end enough in the offense. Yeah. That's about all I have on players here in this team. It keeps it pretty simple. Like it's you know, streamlined, at least the few that we're looking at.
For sure. Our most impressive guys are the second year wide receiver who we're thinking could take a jump and a guy who hasn't played football in close to 2 years.
7.5 wins. Do they get the over?
Oh, I don't know what it is, but maybe it's just like the lingering meow mix fandom, but I think they get it. I think I'm going to smash the over.
I think I will too. Yeah. I have a lot of optimism around this team. The strength of schedule is my biggest worry, but hey, this is a team that took down the Rams last year in a surprise game. So
that's right.
If they can keep it close,
competitive in the wild card.
Mm-hmm. If they can keep it close, I think they could get a handful of those one score games to help that out that schedule.
People forget.
Hey, let's go talk Baker time. Let's go hang out with the Bucks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 8-9 last year, couldn't quite get that first place, but finished second. 8.5 wins is their over under for this year. Strength of schedule, it's not great. They are bottom 10 as far as easiest schedule, so they also will be working for it a bit. 18th in points last year, 20th in points given up. This was a team that they had a lot of heart. This team has consistently played hard post that. Tom Brady, post Super Bowl. Like, They keep it going. Todd Bowles, man, he should be really happy with the situation right now. He's been able to pull in some OCs to make it happen. They did bring in Zach Robinson from the Atlanta Falcons after the Falcons cleaned house, so he will be the new OC. Shocker there. Baker Mayfield continues to have new OCs just about each and every year of his college and professional year.
Quarterbacks.
But something to note, Zach Robinson was the OC for Sean McVay when Baker was there for that final season or the final few games there for the Rams. So something of note, there's going to be a little familiarity. That honestly, nice. It's Sean McVay offense, baby. I'm excited. I'm always down to get with that. As far as key additions, the key loss would be Mike Evans heading to the San Francisco 49ers. And really, they didn't bring in that much. At least on the wide receiver front, they draft pretty well over the last half decade. In the wide receiver position, they did bring in some help at the running back position. Kenneth Gainwell, the receptions leader for the Steelers this past year, came to join the team as Rashad White left. So essentially just a one-for-one swap on those two.
Yep.
Let's talk quarterback. Let's talk banged up Baker last year. He was hurting. If you haven't been watching quarterbacks on the streaming service that we won't name because no free ads. But yeah, we've seen how Baker was a little knocked around this year. I'm excited for this season for the Bucks. With all that being said, Mario, take it away. Let's slap us with the fun greatness that you have.
Slap them with some numbers, right? I always come prepared with the numbers, and this one's no different. So right now what I'm seeing is Baker's ADP is around quarterback 20 overall. And I just think that's a little disrespectful. You know, I know he's got no Mike Evans, but he was quarterback 3 in 2024, which is a lifetime ago in fantasy. But even so, he finished quarterback 12 last year. Like, I see people like Malik Willis above him. I see Malik Willis at 19, and I'm just like, that does not feel right. So I do understand Mike Evans is gone, his absolute favorite target. But he made it work last year without Mike Evans. So I don't know. I see him 15 minimum, and I wouldn't be surprised if Baker finishes top 12 again.
This is abysmal. This is like, folks, why can't we get this right? First year in Tampa Bay, quarterback 10. It's great. Disrespected after that season. Finishes quarterback 4. We overcorrected. Like, you don't have to just draft Baker at QB 20 or QB 6. You can draft him somewhere in the middle, folks. And that's what we're doing. After the QB 4 season, we overdrafted him. And I felt like we talked about that on this podcast. You're overdrafting Baker, draft him closer to 12.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's right where he finished. But again, we don't need to drop him another 8 spots. You can draft him QB 15 to QB 9-ish. I think that is perfectly acceptable spot to take him because he feels like he can still beat that ADP. So Baker Mayfield's going to be picked up all over the place, like one of those last picks in your draft, you know, if he stays there at QB 20.
100%. If you punt on quarterback and you see Baker, they like everybody else picks their quarterback, you know Baker is going to be nice and comfortable for you round 13, 12, and you're like, perfect, I got my guy.
Mm-hmm.
So don't sweat it there.
All right, let's go running back. Let's talk about the Bucky in the room.
Oh, nice. That was a great one.
What are we doing with Bucky Irving right now? RB20. Going anywhere from 210 on Sleeper, 508 on ESPN, and 502 on Yahoo.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where the smart drafting is. He's banged up all offseason. We're getting reports from Todd Bowles, like hopefully he'll be ready for the start of the season. Yada, yada. Evidently, he's clear. Evidently, he's going to be out there. Training camp is starting up, so we're going to be hitting you with all sorts of fun nuggets and news. If you want some stuff right, hard-hitting stuff now, Jay actually just dropped his top 300 players, so go check out that article over there on QBList.com. But how are you feeling about Bucky, Mario?
Not great, Brian. I mean, I wasn't crazy about him last year, and I don't want to say he proved it. Proved me right because he did average a little over 12 points per game. He was RB 18 in terms of point per game. So, you know, that is good. That's more than serviceable. And if you look at that, that's kind of where he's being drafted now, right? Like averaged RB 18 going around RB 20. So you could be like, oh, they factored his injury in. But like you just mentioned, it's like training camp's about to start. Maybe if I get some positive news from training camp, but I hate to just run the same playbook that we just talked about for Carolina, but I'm kind of more excited about Kenny Gainwell, right? Like you just talked about it. It's like, now is Gainwell going to lead this team in receptions? No, right? No. Like the receiving corps here is way better than Pittsburgh. The shell of Aaron Rodgers can't sling it as well as it used to. That's okay. But for just his value, right? Like I'm seeing Gainwell go around running back 37, a little over 100 ADP. He was running back 20 last year, like actually was running back 20 what people are drafting Bucky this year. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if Gainwell has, I'm not going to say double digit games as the starter because that's disrespectful to Irving, but if he starts 6 games, are we surprised? So I like Gainwell for where he's going. I think he's tremendous value.
He definitely hits more of those like hero RB or zero RB builds. You know, if you grab one or none, you know, those first few rounds and you kind of punt on the position because you're getting great value on wide receiver. Maybe you take that tight end or quarterback early. Gainwell feels like somebody who can give you points right off the rip, but you're not depending, you know, like you obviously can't depend on a player like that to give you 15, 20 plus points, you know, love it if you have it. But I think that he's going to solidly give you, especially even in a half point PPR, give you double digit points each and every week. And with the injuries that we've seen with Bucky, funny enough, Bucky, Quinshon Judkins and Cam Scatabo, back to back to back. All guys coming off injuries right now.
The ambulance, bro.
Yeah, that's where it's cruising through the ADP line.
Blue tent. Oh,
and I don't see myself like Bucky's going 4 spots ahead of DeAndre Swift in the running back rankings. I can't do that. He's going ahead of Bashaud Tutin. I don't like David Montgomery, but I'm probably leaning David Montgomery over Bucky this year. So it's just a hard click. Still haven't figured out quite when I'm willing to, because I'm not going to let him just not get drafted in one of my leagues. If he falls far enough, there's got to be a point, but we'll be going over those a little bit later, I'm sure, as we get through the draft season. Gainwell, though, I like the click.
I love the Gainwell, especially, like you said, it's terrific if you punt on the position. But even if not, even if he's just there and you need a third, even like a fourth, like I'm so greedy with running backs. I think it's the most powerful position in fantasy. So if I'll take him as my fourth running back if I like where he's at.
And Sean Tucker, he is still there. Tested out free agency a little bit. They brought him back. Look, I'm not saying draft Sean Tucker. It's just, again, remember the name. This could be the goal. Like, we could have Bucky between the 20s. You could have Gainwell as the pass catching back, and you could have Sean Tucker as the goal line guy. I have a healthy share of both of the second and third running backs on this team in best ball, because you never know. So again, we're not drafting Sean Tucker. It's just, hey, we're going to keep an eye on this as we find out more and more news for Bucky Irving.
That reminds me when you mentioned Sean Tucker, because I had like forgotten about his name, but just fun Sean Tucker fact is that last year he scored 87 total fantasy points. He scored 33 of those in one game. Like, what an anomaly. Sean Tucker, he showed up RB1 and then sandwiched in between that 39, 38. So
nice.
You know, he's got the talent.
Let's go to these wide receivers, because there's a lot to work through here. Right off the rip, of course, Chris Godwin's been there since the beginning of time. Coming off of an injury or a season that he's coming off an injury. So, older age at this point, but I'm hoping that a couple of seasons away from that big injury, we can get the Chris Godwin that we know and love back.
Yep.
Of course, Emeka Egbuka, the first round wide receiver from last year. Great first month of the year. He was pretty banged up after that, and so was Baker. So it's hard to kind of decipher how you want to look at that. But then you also have names like Tez Johnson. You've got Cameron Johnson. Ted Hurst is the rookie that, you know, some of your dynasty guys, you're going to see lots of them pumping up Ted Hurst. I think the big way to – oh, and Jalen McMillan. Oh, my God. Yeah, disrespect.
McMillan. Yeah.
I'm so sorry there, Jalen, buddy. I think there's a chance that he could be really competing as far as one of the top wide receivers in this group. So there's a lot to work through here. We're still getting news exactly who's going to fit where, who's going to be the X, how are they going to deploy these three wide receivers. I imagine we're going to be three wide receiver sets because the tight end room is crap. They brought Kate Otten back, but like nobody likes that tight end room. Nobody needs a tight end in Tampa Bay. While everybody is zigging, can we please zag it up in Tampa Bay and just put five wide receivers on the field? You have the depth. You can pull it off. Baker can make some magic happen. He can run. Screw the running backs, you know. Put Gainwell as the fifth wide receiver. I don't care. I digress. Right. Talk to me about wide receivers. How are you looking at them?
I'm just picturing that. What is that, like double zero personnel where just like there's no running back, there's no tight end. It's just Baker and a bunch of dudes running slants. Like,
love it. I freaking love it.
Oh, but I do love this wide receiver room. I mean, they have the third easiest schedule out of all wide receivers. You love seeing that. We'll start with Mbuka, who was on fire to start the season last year. His first 5 weeks, he was wide receiver 3. After that, his production fell off a cliff. He had just a single game better than were a better finish than wide receiver 34. But what keeps me optimistic, as you mentioned, he was a little banged up, as was Baker. But he did, even though he wasn't playing as well, he still saw the 9th most targets out of any wide receiver. So we always chase the targets. That's what leads to the production. I think he's going to continue to be that role, especially with Evans gone. And Chris Godwin, we'll get to him. I like Chris Godwin. He's so talented. He's done me well. You're hoping that he's going to return to his nearly 9 targets per game, 8.9 targets per game in 2024. But last year hurt. 2024, before, you know, those targets came to an end, he got hurt. So I don't know. You just have to be optimistic. I see wide receiver 38. I'm kind of trying to squeeze a little more value. If someone wants to jump over me and take him there, by all means, if I can get him in the 40s range, I would kind of.
I've got Chris Godwin inside my top 28 right now.
Really? Tell me about it. Yeah, I'm worried he's going to get hurt again. Going for the turkey.
Scared money don't make money, Mario. Come on, buddy.
That's why I'll draft CMC, but like Chris Godwin, I don't know. Chris Godwin's on the wrong side of 30. That's no. What CMC is at this point. But
like we're having these debates about Michael Wilson and that team, Parker Washington and his team. Mekhi Lemon goes 3 spots. Like all of these guys are going right around. Cortland Sutton goes 5 spots ahead. No. Give me Chris Godwin. I am eating. I thought I was going to get spicy and have Chris Godwin ahead of Emeka Nwabuka. I can't do it. I just can't do it. The talent, like I just can't in the age. But I am. I talked about Jonathan Brooks being one of my highest exposed running backs. Chris Godwin is one of my highest exposed wide receivers, and kind of has been for the last 3 or 4 years. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm just dumb or if, you know, when it works, it works. So I really do love Chris Godwin. He feels like the absolute safest pick out of this wide receiver room. Cause I mean, really everybody past Chris Godwin, you're not having to pay up for it all. These are late round flyers at that point. And then Emeka Nwabuka, there's not exactly what you'd like baked in on his price as far as the variables, as far as just what we saw.
I agree with that.
Is there a sophomore slump? Is there anything to slump off of that? You know, there's just a lot of discussion with it. I like the talent. And like we're talking about, I think this team could be top 5 in passing offense this year. There's no reason. Like you said, the schedule lines up well. The defense is decent, but they're going to be working hard. It's a hard schedule for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yet again, NFC South, that's what we're seeing here. So Chris Godwin is a huge excitement piece for me. Emeka Nwabuka, you love him, go after him. And then Jalen McMillan, I think he's going to be, at least best ball wise, I think he's going to be the wide receiver you want to own.
I do like McMillan, but, and like for his price, right? Like I see him going around wide receiver 56. It's like, I mean, you could make a case for any guy in the 50s, but McMillan only played 4 games last year. I believe it was the last 4. He saw 9 targets in one of those games and 3 or less in the other. So it's just, it's all going to come down to how McVeighian is this offense, right? Because we did just talk about the wide receivers, and it's like, look, if Bucky Irving's hurt, I like Kenneth Gainwell, like Eagles legend, but like they're not going to operate through him. The offense is going to go through him.
100%. Last position we have is tight end, K-Dot. Do you have anything nice to say? Because I don't.
Well, I was going to say he faces the second hardest strength of schedule. So if we say mean things about him, it's not about him. It's the fact that he faces a difficult schedule. He had 1 touchdown last year, the lowest of his career, which means there were brighter times. But
wasn't even in the fantasy football season. He scored that touchdown in week 8, 7 for 94 and a touchdown against Carolina. Yeah. Let me back this up, though, folks. Cade Otton gets brought up all the time. And in tight end streaming articles, not this guy's. You can find those over on the QBRS.com. Just the streaming conversation, the wide. Jalen McMillan was hurt last year. Nwabuka was hurt last year. Godwin was hurt last year. I bet both the Johnsons were hurt at one point. Bet me on that. Don't do it. But you're telling me the best opportunity for a subpar tight end to get is when your wide receivers go down and you still couldn't take advantage of this man. Week 18, we're omitting that. Within the fantasy season, he had one worthwhile game to you. I am not drafting him. I am not streaming him. I don't mess with Cade Otton. I just don't. And his great game, it was 12.7 points. It's, you know, it's not bad tight for a tight end. But like, that's not what we're getting excited about. That's not what we're like. Hard pass. Cade Otton, get out of my life.
He was tight end 2 in week 18.
We don't play in week 18. Get out of here. That's DFS talk. We don't do that here.
Oh my gosh. 94 yards. Yeah, season high yards. Caught his only touchdown. 9 targets, the second most. Maybe it's just a week 18 merchant. That's okay.
That's fine. We'll talk about him after, you know, we crown our victors in week 17.
Oh my gosh.
All right. 8.5 wins over or under.
Damn. I don't like the Bucks under. That's just personal spite. They always play the Eagles too hard in the playoffs. That makes me not like
them. Dude, I do love seeing them in the playoffs.
Like seeing them in the playoffs. They always play the Eagles way harder than anybody.
Oh, man. Give me the over. Give me the over. Not exactly what you would call a smart play, but give me the over. Moving on to the Atlanta Falcons. Wow. We have got some changes here. The Atlanta Falcons finished 8-9 the last 2 years. 7-10 the year before that.
Consistency.
Yeah, that's what they do. Projected for 7.5 wins this year. Surprise, surprise. New head coach, Yes, we got a new head coach, Kevin Stefanski, two-time coach of the year coming down from Cleveland. The man that had such a good team, such a great offense, but couldn't have a quarterback. So he comes down to Atlanta and finally has checks, notes, everything but a quarterback. He's got Tommy Reese, brought him down from Cleveland as well as his OC. Stefanski's a great offensive mind, though, so I imagine he falls under that Shanahan McVay talk. He will be calling the plays. So we've got Bijan brought back. Algier went, but we brought in Brian Robinson. Wide receivers, they didn't do a whole lot here. Kyle Pitts, they got him tagged and extended this offseason. Yep. Yeah, Michael Penix coming off of an ACL tear. Surprise, surprise. I think this is his 15th of his career. Might have checked that note. And then they brought in Tua for pennies on the dollar after he was cut. All right. Let's start it here. Where do you want to start it, Mario?
I mean, we're at QB list, as you've done such a great job plugging a couple times, so might as well start there. We'd have to rebrand if we didn't. And that's expensive. We already got t-shirts made. So quarterbacks, they have the 7th easiest strength of schedule for quarterbacks, which is great. The downside is, according to the numbers I'm seeing ADP-wise, Penix is quarterback 33 and Tua is quarterback 34. In a league of 32 teams, neither of their quarterbacks fall in the top 32. So
there are backups that people want more than them. That's sad.
I see Philip Rivers, who, as far as I'm aware, doesn't play football anymore, is higher than either of these two guys. That being said, if, like you mentioned, they do have everything but the quarterback. So I don't even think you draft them in redraft, but they're definitely worth monitoring. And if they see any kind of forward traction, listen, like, somebody's always going to get hurt, right? Maybe it's like week one or two. You throw somebody in your IR slot. I'd roster a guy. Like, if I see half of a good game, maybe I roster a guy. But the problem is, it's quarterback, right? Like, we just talked about Baker, and it's like you get him at quarterback 20 and he finishes top 15. So I just don't even know.
Yeah, I think the biggest conversation that has to be had with these quarterbacks, it's not whether or not we're looking at them at fantasy, it's can they support our fantasy pieces? Because right now we've got a running back on this team that's going, you know, consensus top two. We've got a wide receiver that's going in the top eight-ish of wide receivers. We have a tight end that is going in the mid-round of tight ends, which that's scary. We don't like the mid-round tight ends. So just a lot kind of hinges on this. I imagine we're going to see Tua start the season, just especially with Penix coming off the ACL injury.
Yeah.
And it's easier to go from Tua to Penix than Penix to Tua. Just as far as that, because then you can't go back to Penix. You just can't. We've seen this over the years. The flip-flop just doesn't work. So Tua going out there, he hasn't been a great quarterback over the years. We've seen him be good. We've seen him lead the league in yards. We've seen him support multiple options. This dude checks down the ball more than anybody in the league, and I do love that for a 102 Bijan Robinson.
I do love that. Yeah, I mean, let's just jump right into that. So that's quarterbacks. Yikes. That's a cliff note of it. Running back. You mentioned there's another B. Robinson in town in Atlanta, so make sure you draft the correct one. But back to Bijan. He has the 7th hardest strength of schedule, but it really comes down to him or Gibbs. So I guess, like, what is the case for Robinson over Gibbs?
I don't have one. No, it's. I do have Gibbs above him, but I could make the case. I really don't care. Like, if people are like, which one do I take? I don't know. Who do you like more? I think I like Bijan more than Gibbs, just as far as, like, I'm more of a fan. Not putting down Gibbs. But, like, if I had my franchise had to pick a player, I'd pick Bijan. Just, he's so much fun to watch. And we finally got the big plays. That was kind of our knock this first year. We finally got the big plays this past year, which was awesome. But I think just situationally, Gibbs is sitting in a better one. But of course, I just brought up the checkdowns, the dump-offs that could come Bijan's way. They're not going to Brian Robinson. Are you kidding me? No! Brian Robinson's there just to make sure that Bijan didn't hit 500 touches.
That's absolutely true. And yeah, I was going to just echo the checkdown, right? Like, we've seen Tua support Achan last year, so you feel really comfortable that Tua can support him. And then obviously Penix played a good chunk of last year supporting Bijan, so you feel good about that. The tougher schedule is a little worrisome, but we kind of touched upon it. It's like, it's Robinson, it's Drake London, and then I'll say it, it's a cliff. We won't even count the tight end there. Versus the volume will be higher across the board in Detroit, but there is going to be more mouths to feed. So that's my case for Bijan, but you really can't go wrong. You really don't have to overthink it. It's just which guy's picture do you like more, right? That's always been my wife's tiebreaker when it comes to fantasy. It's like, ooh, whose smile does she trust?
Ooh, it's not a bad way to go about it. Might be working that into my system this year. No, but generational talent at Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
I couldn't knock anybody if they take him 101 over Bijan or over Gibbs. It's not how I have it ranked right now, but they're in the same tier. So like I said, we're splitting hairs. Of course, the Brian Robinson, Bijan Robinson jokes we're going to get around draft time are going to be so tiresome. Oh, look who took this. Oh, look, he freaked out. He threw a TV. Did you see that? He threw a TV. No, so dumb. So dumb. Speaking of dumb, let's talk about how they didn't address the wide receiver position for the Falcons. I say didn't. They did a little something, but not much.
Former first round pick
for the Commanders. Or Washington football team. I don't know who they were when they drafted him.
I don't know. But he signed a 2-year deal in the offseason. I had that. That was my notes for Jahan Dotson. Get that bag.
I'm not drafting him anywhere, but I'm keeping my eyes just to see if this offense can be functional. There's a chance, but I think at best he's the fourth pass catcher on this team. So I don't really want Tua's fourth pass catcher. We do have Zaccheaus coming down from the Bears. Crap. You talk about a thorn in somebody's side. That was Zaccheaus. So again, I'm not worried too much about the second pass catcher there. I want him to do well for this offense. And then the draft pick, Zachariah Branch, they got him this past draft in the third round, 79th overall, coming out of Georgia. Yep. Lot of question marks on this cat. He could be just a lightning rod in fantasy if they can use him correctly and the skills that he has. Or he could just be a very gadgety player in his NFL career. It might just be a return piece. Who knows? But either way, highlight tape's fun. I will say that if you're interested in a just random receiver, hey, I haven't seen anything. Go check out his highlight tape. It's a good time.
If you want a YouTube rabbit hole, check out Zachariah Branch's tape. Great name, Zachariah. I feel like we don't see enough of Zachariah's.
Mm-hmm. Just it's falling off a bit.
But Drake London, how about we start with, now that we did the reverse order where we talked about the absolute bottom of the barrel, aka Eagles legends, and worked our way up to Drake London. Right now he's going about wide receiver 7, which is fitting because he was wide receiver 7 in points per game last year. He averaged exactly 9.3 targets per game 2 years in a row, which is impressive. But now the question is, can his current quarterback situation continue to feed him the 9.3 targets? And to that I'd say, I believe so. We've seen Tua can force feed a Tyreek Hill type. And we saw Penix last year while he was healthy continuing to support Drake London. So there's a little bit of question marks. It's just, it almost worries it. What I see with this Falcons team, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Cardinals. Not to compare them to the Cardinals. I think there's much better situation here, but it's just like, how many times is this offense going to score and where are those touchdowns going to go? I expect them to primarily funnel through Robinson and London, but just with this quarterback situation, it's like they could have 2 touchdowns a game, you know, if you're lucky. And then it's just like, oh, one went to Zachariah on a gadget play. And then the other was like a QB sneak. And now it's like, okay, my first overall running back and, you know, wide receiver 7 just got me 8 points apiece.
That's the hardest thing with this team is how do they fare? Like their average line is 3.1. Like they're only favored 2 games this year. It's not great. It's not great. No. But at the same time, sometimes that opens up a window for garbage time. And Kevin Stefanski, I trust his offensive mind and his ability to put points on the board. It's just by what means is it capped? Because this defense, it's a up-and-coming defense. And one of their first-round edges that we thought might not ever play football again after the end of last season because of off-the-field stuff kind of got brushed under the rug, I guess, if you'll say. And he's going to be out there. So the defense, if it continues to take a step and they keep themselves competitive, I think that they might have the shot to, like, you know, go down at the end of the game and potentially win. Start off against Pittsburgh, Carolina, Green Bay, New Orleans. That's three pretty good games out of the four. You know, Green Bay, Micah Parsons might not be back, so that opportunity could be there as well. You know, so in the playoffs, let's talk about from week 14 on. We played the Browns, Washington,
yeah, revenge game,
Buccaneers, and the Saints. So it's not a bad little finish. This team has a potential to really vault up those pieces that you might have a hard time there at the beginning of the season. They could finish off pretty strong.
I like that. I like that case. And I am excited. And we haven't talked about how difficult their schedule as a whole is. Like we talked about for positionally, but I have to imagine a third place schedule is pretty favorable. And again, they did finish the same record as the 1-2 team. So, and Kevin Stefanski, this is going to be so interesting, right? Cause he's leaving Cleveland, which is a cursed city in regards to football, but he's going to another cursed city in Atlanta. So I just don't know. If it was any other city he went to, he'd make the playoffs the first year going to that new team. But I don't know if Atlanta's anti-football magic is going to keep him down.
Hey, if any division can be won, it will be this one by the team we don't see coming. And then finally, I'll go ahead and leave it for you. Tight end position, your favorite player in the league.
Oh, my God.
Kyle Pitts, man. He is going... Sometimes I feel like it's too high, and sometimes I don't. Kind of backs, or depends where you're picking him up. Right now, he is tight end 7, going anywhere from 606 to 909 across the big four platforms, or at least the four that I look at. So, Kyle Pitts, man, Tucker Kraft goes behind him. I like Tucker Kraft more.
Love Tucker Kraft.
Harold Fannin goes right above him. I think they're both in the same boat. I think both those guys are in a very similar boat as far as the sketchiness of the situations. But Kyle Pitts, how do you feel about it?
Oh, my goodness. If I don't know if I have authority to have like QB list design t-shirts, but if I did, it would just say my do not draft list and it would just be Kyle Pitts. It would just be just the name Kyle Pitts.
The disrespect.
I do think you did mention how Harold Fannin is kind of in that same breath. And even before Harold Fannin, we saw David Njoku really thrive. So you could argue that Kevin Stefanski really appreciates his tight ends and will get something out of Pitts. That's the case I have for him. Another nice thing about Kyle Pitts, he had the second most targets among tight ends last year. You like that? He secured the bag, but we're just, you mentioned it yourself, Brian. We don't draft these middle of the road tight ends. Some other names you mentioned that are going under him, I prefer more. Tucker Kraft is someone I'm really targeting, and he's going below Kyle Pitts. So I'm never going to draft a Kyle Pitts on my team.
It's going to be interesting to see how much exposure I do have to him when these redraft drafts kick off, because I don't like where he goes, but if he falls, I'm going to scoop it up, because he does fall just above the line of draftable tight end, and then below the line is streaming tight end. He is still in that draftable range. He's just probably in my bottom tier as far as what those would look like. But when I say bottom tier, we're talking about 8 tight ends, so... You know,
yes.
Grain of salt, folks. Really, if it's not a top 6 tight end, that like we say top 12, we're talking about, you know, tight end 1, wide receiver 1. Yeah, it's top 6 for tight ends. That is a tight end 1. After 6, you're a streamer.
Absolutely true. Like I'm looking at right now, I see Kyle Pitts at 7. I see Sam Laporta at 8. I'd be like, okay, I'd feel comfortable drafting Laporta. And then below him is Dalton Kincaid. And that's where it's like, nope, like I'm done. Like I've officially punted the position and I will take someone much later on.
Kelsey, Goddard, Kincaid, Ferguson, Andrews, likely Henry, the streamers. They're streamers.
Yeah.
Nice. This team's at 7.5 wins. Where do they go?
Brian, they're going over, and I'm really having a tough time about who's going to win this division, because I think it could be the Falcons with Stefanski. But I think it could be the team that we haven't talked about yet. But I'm going to just say that they are going to take the over on their wins.
I'll take the under. Man, I've always been a light Falcons fan. You know, the teams that don't get a lot of love and don't ever like win a lot, it's hard not to root for them. And after that 28-3, I'm mad at them, because what they would have done to Brady's career and legacy had they beat him, had he have 4 losses in the Super Bowl. But, you know, whatever. I'll play shoulda, coulda, woulda later on. Let's talk about the Saints. Let's go to the last team in this division and arguably the best team in the division? Question mark? Ooh. This team finished 6-11 last year, but, man, they didn't play it there at the end. They look so much better. 7.5 is their projected win total. Kellen Moore coming into year 2 as a head coach. We've got Doug Nussmeier as his OC, but that doesn't matter. We won't be talking about him calling plays.
Not one bit.
This team, oh baby. We talked about three rough strength of schedules for this division. Guess who's that fourth team that's not in it? We're talking Saints with fourth place schedule, having the second best schedule in the league. Woo! If that doesn't knock players up just a little bit more for me unreasonably, it does. It does. This team was competitive. They were fun. You know, despite Kellen Moore's brilliance, we don't see a lot of pass targeting to the running back. So that is something to note. 26th in the NFL when targets going to the running back, which I think kind of follows suit with the player additions. We brought in Travis Achane, formerly known as Travis Etienne, from the Jacksonville Jaguars. But when you come to New Orleans, you got to have a little French twang on it. And I don't have it, but we're going to try and say it there. He did come to town, as well as Jordan Tyson, my favorite wide receiver prospect coming out of all the rookies. Picked number 8th overall out of Arizona State. Oscar Delp, tight end, coming in the 3rd round out of Georgia. And then Bryce Lance, their 2nd, 4th round pick there out of North Dakota State. And man, if you don't know anything about this kid, yeah, it's essentially the next Christian Watson, the guy who came from that school as well. Horrible, lazy comps, but that's the comp we're going to give there right off the rip. So let's go to quarterbacks. Let's talk about this team. Let's talk about second-year quarterback Tyler Shuck.
Tyler Shuck. We know how to say his last name now. It took us a whole year, a whole offseason, but we figured it out. And you know why? Because he taught us, like, just from his talent. He was hot at the end of last year. He was top 6 in 3 of the last 5 games. Very impressive. I see him going around quarterback 21 right now. I don't know what it is about the NFC South and guys and quarterbacks. Just, I don't want to say getting disrespected, but I mean, one team had a 33 and a 34, maybe rightly so, but I like Tyler Shuck a lot. Like, same things we said for Baker. I'm going to echo again for Tyler Shuck. He's going quarterback 21. You could absolutely punt the position, pick him up, and I think he'd be more than serviceable. I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes top 12 in over half of the weeks.
Yeah, you can outright just completely punt quarterback, and 2 of your last picks can be Baker Mayfield and Tyler Shuck, and I think
you'd be all set.
You'd be fine. I do worry a little. Like, I don't want to go in and just grab Shuck or grab Shuck and somebody behind him. He does start off at Detroit and at Baltimore. A little rough to start the year.
You told me such an easiest schedule.
I know. But we get it out of the way, because after that, we've got home to the Raiders, home to the Falcons, and you play Minnesota. You've got the Giants, Pittsburgh in there, Cleveland, Carolina. The schedules get cushier. And then in the playoffs, they play Tampa Bay, home to Arizona, and then Atlanta. Oh. So there's some pretty sweet matchups there. And, you know, that Atlanta game, it could be for the division or going into that championship game or the 18th game against the Buccaneers, really fighting for that division. So I'm excited. Tyler Shuck, it's a player I'm going to be targeting quite a bit. He seems kind of consensus, one of those like sleeper quarterback types, the Drake Maye of last, you know, that rushing quarterback that we just kind of disregard because maybe he's not proven or he's just not the sexiest thrower. Folks, rushing quarterbacks are broken.
It's true. And I mean, I would even go as far as to say, like, you'd probably pick somebody else up. I may just even YOLO it and be like, listen, Chuck's my guy. Like, I'm drafting one quarterback round 13. If I'm not getting Josh Allen round 3, I'm getting Tyler Shuck round 13. I think that's my quarterback strategy going into this year.
Let's make it happen. I like it. Let's go to the running backs.
Yep. Achane, as you mentioned it, we've been saying it wrong this whole time. Hand up. That's on me, Travis, and I apologize. But yes, Travis Achane, who is from Louisiana, so it's cool, homecoming. I see him going in his running. Oh, good.
I was going to say, question, though. We didn't talk about his brother who plays for the Panthers, Trevor. No, but didn't. Is he Trevor Achane or is he Trevor Etienne, because he's not New Orleans?
Brian, that is a great question. I think that because he left the state, we don't say that Cajun twang no more.
That's what I thought. I was like, I feel like his brother's still Etienne until he gets out of there. It's unfortunate. It's still an abbreviation for the last name, writing just ETN. But then I want to say it that way. So this is going to be a hot mess, folks.
Yeah, I think that's what led into it. It's just ETN. It's just kind of like, it's so cool that it's only 3 letters to say. Mm-hmm. But I digress. He's a junior. I got to respect other juniors' wishes. So Travis Achane Jr., running back since 19 is where I see him going. He was running back 9 through 17 weeks last year, which we don't care about the 18th week in fantasy, so we love seeing that. He had the second most receiving touchdowns among running backs last year, only behind CMC. Pretty good company. So I think it's just going to come down to, will he be used in a similar way? And I'll say, obviously, different head coaches, different eras, blah, blah, blah. But Alvin Kamara is who I think about when I think of Saints running backs. And he was the OG PPR machine. So I am optimistic about Achan. I think that he can continue that just pass catching role. And I'm very excited about drafting him. I think 19 is a pretty fair spot. And that's kind of, I'm going to be targeting him there and maybe even a little bit more so.
Yeah, my rankings are have him pretty similar to ADP. I do think he can easily finish as an RB2, you know, pending him staying healthy. Alvin Kamara did redo his contract, so he will be there. But what he steals are the passes, and this team doesn't pass the running back very much. So I'm not too worried about that. He feels a lot like what we got from Javonte Williams last year. Mm-hmm. You know, he runs it really well, just doesn't want run it great. This offensive line I've seen ranked up as high as like 10th, so that's intriguing. But he could propel himself as a fringe RB1 potentially after, you know, the injuries that come across the rest of the league. And then the touchdowns. Second easiest schedule, they have potential to – he could be, you know, averaging over 1.5 touchdowns a game if, you know, this team really gets rocking and rolling. So I do think that there's upside. I just don't think – I would be blown away if he finishes top 5. Absolutely blown away if he finishes top 5.
Agreed. I don't see the path to top 5, but you mentioned he could be a very like a running back 2 like for you. And it's like I could see a world where he squeaks into RB12 if this offense. We talked about it, like Kellen Moore, we really enjoy his offenses. They have a very favorable schedule. So I am very excited about him. He's someone I'm going to be targeting pretty high heavily. Achan.
Nice. Alvin Kamara, no interest there.
No, but you know what? He scored 7 touchdowns that Christmas once, so
Never forget. People never forget. All right. Let's go to the wide receivers here. Chris Olave finally had his breakout of breakouts as he finishes as a top or a wide receiver 1 last year.
Yep.
Not consistent at all.
Nope.
Him and Zay Flowers, there was a handful of these guys that finished as wide receiver 1s last year, and it was not the way wide receiver 1s give you that salt. Like, you felt like you had a wide receiver 2. But where you drafted him in the 30s, that was dope. This year's a little different. He is going as wide receiver 12. You are drafting him near his ceiling.
Yeah.
And he's also just came off blood thinners. That is another scary issue. Right at the end of the season, missed that last game. Blood clots. This has also been a guy who's dealt with concussions in the past. So
yeah.
Health is a huge fear. It's a big talking point in the dynasty community with this cat. So they go out and get Jordan Tyson, who also has a bit of a history in the injury spot. So Chris Olave, are you willing to spend the price on him there in the 3rd round? All 4 formats we talk about going in the 3rd.
It is a little dicey because we talk about targets so much. I've said a lot of good things about wide receivers and their targets. And I saved the best for last because you're looking at targeted wide receivers last year. This is weeks 1 through 17 because he didn't play week 18. But he was top 3. It went Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra, Chris Olave. So they love throwing him the ball. Now, you already mentioned it. They have Jordan Tyson this year. You're not going to draft a guy at 8th overall and not get him involved, right? So I do think he's going to lose some targets there. Health is a concern. We kind of talk like scared money don't make money. But last year felt like the first healthy year of Chris Olave's career. I don't know. I don't know if he can repeat that same sexy finish. I think 11, like you said, you're drafting for his ceiling. And just from all the years playing fantasy, I feel like that we can kind of say it's like when you're drafting a guy who's for his ceiling specifically, he's never going to hit that ceiling again and you're going to regret it. So I'm kind of avoiding Olave.
And I'm really interested to see how the Saints navigate this. This is a wide receiver still on his rookie deal, 26 years old. He is eligible for his extension, hasn't hit a lot of his guys that are in his same bracket or, you know, like draft class. These guys are getting paid. They're getting paid big bucks. Is New Orleans willing to make that risk, you know, really extend him, give him a good offer, keep him around? Because they also just took another wide receiver there in the first round, took him in the top 8. I'd love to see these two side by side. It's great offense, especially for Kellen Moore. Or is this their plan to, you know, to move on? Maybe Chris Olave gets traded at some point. going into the deadline if the team is just booty, or, you know, going into this next year, who knows? Just a lot of contingency with what could happen. This is a guy, 31.3% of his games were in the top 12 last year, despite him being there. So that's the part we have to look at when it comes to his price. I am willing to take several players behind him, you know, whether it be Devonta Smith, T. Higgins, Zay Flowers, several players I'm willing to take there. It's just not the risk that I want to be taking.
Agreed. Rashee Rice, another one who I see a little bit behind him. And it's like, even though they may not have Mahomes for a couple of games, it's like, so I do agree. I agree. Olave, I don't think he's worth the price right now. And his biggest strength last year was his abundance of targets. And they just drafted a guy top eight who we can now get into. I assume going Jordan Tyson, I assume going wide receiver 34 about. But what I'm seeing is, again, these freaking Saints players, they just have their health issues. I see Tyson had some hammy issues that made him limited during the voluntary OTAs. We'll see what kind of happens as it ramps up a little bit more. And, you know, we see it all the time with wide receiver rookies, I guess the opposite of Mbuka, where they start off, Mbuka started electric and cooled off. We kind of see these guys almost play into NFL readiness. So that's what I'm kind of expecting out of Tyson, as long as he can stay healthy. So I'm excited about him. 34 feels like a good price. I'll have to just see where drafts fall and really do my rankings as we get a little bit closer, but I'm excited about him.
He's a player I don't necessarily have faded in ADP, but I don't have him above ADP. I think it's a roster dependent pick for me is how I'm going to go about him. Like I said, I think that he was far and away the most talented kid coming out of college this year. I loved his watching him on the field, you know, watching his film, and then also his analytics. They absolutely destroy what he's done out there. It's just Dave in the game. Can he stay healthy? Seems to be a trend in some of the players that I like, but he's going around DK Metcalf, Brian Thomas Jr., Cortland Sutton, Alec Pierce, Mekhi Lemon, Marvin Harrison Jr., Christian Watson. These are all players that we're going to be speculating on over the next month. Mario's going to like some. I may like others. Jay and Brett, you're going to hear the same thing with them. We're going to be, you know, we'll all have our favorites, but he will be part of that discussion. And if Chris Olave goes down, it's just, you know, it's boosting it that much more. So somebody I'm willing to take a shot on, especially at 901 in ESPN, but in 604. That's where he's going in some leagues. Feels a little rich to me.
Crazy. Those people hate Chris Olave. Those people are the ones that are like,
Bryce Lance too, folks. That's just a name I'm bringing up as far as best ball wise. But we're talking about injury issues with these two players. Bryce Lance might find himself as the first target on the wide receiver room at some point if both of them are hurt at the same week. So just name to mention. Tall, fast.
Those are good things.
All right, let's talk about this tight end, because we haven't brought up Taysom Hill's name. That's right, because he's not on the team. Get out of here, Taysom. We're done with you. As much fun as you were.
You got me.
No, I do want to talk about probably my favorite tight end so far this offseason. Let's talk about Juwan Johnson. The argument I was just trying to make with Bryce Lance, insert Juwan Johnson. Probably not the number one target, but easily could be the number two, fighting as 2-3 in this offense. But if people get injured, man, it's tasty. He's not even 30 yet. Get off this guy. I feel like we've been talking about for 40 years. No, he's still in what would can be considered the prime for tight ends. I love it. I'm going after it. This guy's going as tight end 20. If you pump the position, as I often say, this guy's somebody going after. Again, maybe not necessarily drafting. He's got two rough matchups there right off the rip, but check out whoever's writing that tight end streaming article, because this guy is probably going to be being picked up there on week three. Love Juwan Johnson.
I can't believe it. I'm so happy you feel the same way, because I was going to start off by saying, Brian, I have not said my league winning tip per episode yet.
Oh my God. I completely forgot about it this episode. Hit me with it.
Oh my gosh. And my league winning tip was going to be get Juwan Johnson, who's going as tight end 20 right now. But it's like, I see the path for him finishing top eight as a tight end. Mm-hmm. My tip was going to be don't draft Kyle Pitts. That should be a given. That's not a tip. People already know that. So Juwan Johnson last year, he was tight end 10 overall. He saw three touchdowns. He just did that off of just good, honest catches, targets, reset, like yardage, all the good stuff. He had the eighth most targets among tight ends. I love seeing that. And we're just talking about this Kellen Moore offense, a second year of Kellen Moore. I think he wants to put the pedal to the metal. We talked about how cakewalk of a schedule this team has in general. I love Juwan Johnson. This is another instance where we've talked about it in an earlier episode. I'm kind of targeting Tucker Kraft, another league winning player. But if I don't get Tucker Kraft, if someone outreaches me, Juwan Johnson's my safety net. And like I said, top eight finish.
I love that. Music to my ears. 7-5. The Saints win total. What do you have? Over or under?
I'll take the over. Oh, you know what? I'll say the Saints win the division, which all you need is 8 wins for that. I don't think there was a single over under that was over 8.5. I think was the cap, and that was the Bucks.
No, I think the Bucks were 8.5. I think everybody else was 7.5. Over 8.5. Yeah,
8.5. 8.5 was the highest, which is hilarious to me. Like, I don't know.
Nice. Well, do you have your division order? I yet see them finishing.
Let's do it. So at the top, we will say the Saints. I'll say Kevin Stefanski will finish number 2 in the Falcons. I do think any other team he'd go to first thing. Just the bump of leaving Cleveland makes you win your division, but the Falcons have their own stank. After that, I'm going to say the Panthers because we just have that ride or die with them. And then the Bucks because I'm so sick of
them. Wow! I thought you just forgot the Bucks. That's disrespectful.
I'm so sick of the Bucks.
I say that. I called you dumb last year for picking Carolina to win it. So what do I know? Look at that. I'm going to go New Orleans, my number 1. Tampa Bay is my 2. Give me the Falcons at 3 and the Panthers at 4.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy because I really thought I was going to be having the Panthers a little bit higher, but not for this one.
It's a good division. Relatively speaking, it's not a good division. It's a fair division. How about that?
I think it's an exciting division. There's potential for some great stuff there. But Mario, we got to get out of here. Let the people know where they find you.
Oh, my goodness. So first and foremost, thanks for checking out these divisional previews. I know you've been listening to us because you're listening now for that covering the NFC. And of course, you've been listening to Brett and Jay, who covered the AFC. Be sure to listen to that side as well. You can continue to find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. That's just JR. We don't fully spell it out. That's whack. And Brian, I mean, where do people find you? And what do we have coming up next? So like divisions are done. So what's next for the people?
Yeah, folks, divisions are wrapped up. We are going to be dropping content out. I mean, it's going to be shooting out the wazoo here over the next month. Mock drafts every single week, whether it be sleepers, busts, late round grabs, all of that great stuff. It's going to be here on QBList.com. You can find me at @too_much on Twitter. All my stuff is linked up through there. Check out the link there for me. But, of course, on QBList. And for those baseball people, as we're finished up the last few months, check out the content there. But we'll see y'all next time. Later!